Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Henry gets the carry running left. Henry to the 25, Henry to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the...
Yes! Oh, yes!
Two,
yes! Yes! Yes!
Touchdown, Titans, as the Titans will run out of Baltimore with a shocker in OT.
Oh, yes! Did I say yes?
Yes.
Hour number two of the program. That's how it sounded yesterday on Titans Radio.
Yes, indeed.
Let the excitement abound on a victory Monday. The Titans are 7-3. They're back in the playoffs. If the season ended today, guess what, though? It doesn't. There's still a lot of business that needs to be transacted. Yes, but yesterday gives you a good feeling if you're in Nashville with another date with the Colts.
Yes, indeed.
6 days from now. Talk about division supremacy being on the line. Pretty much all the marbles on Sunday.
This is what you want this late in the season.
I'll tell you what you want.
Talk to us.
You want Coach Mack. He's brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Coach, Victory Monday. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. I thought we were leaving for the airport at 8:30, and I got the whole Titans radio crew looking at me like I got a three head. Just leaving at 8 o'clock. Well, we're driving now.
Well,
we're
just pass the phone around. We'll put them all on the air. That'll be
yeah. They're all here.
There you go. There you go. All right, Coach. What did you see yesterday? Before we get into all the specifics of it, what were your observations from a huge win and a great comeback victory for the Titans?
Well, I just thought that, you know, the Tennessee Titans they persevered. I mean, they stayed with it through a lot of adversity during that football game. We knew it was going to be a physical game. It always is. But, you know, I think, you know, this defensive outfit here last year put down the blueprint for how to defend Lamar Jackson. And you can see a lot of people across the league copying it this year. But until you really understand exactly what you're doing, you know, Mike and I and Amy Wells, we get to watch practice every day. And you can see, I mean, this was assignment football, and they had to be very precise with what they were doing. And then you've got to just be physical. I mean, you could tell that it was going to be on, you know, from the start of the ball game before the thing was even kicked off. And so that's just what has to happen here in Baltimore. Always has been, always will be. And it was an impressive win for a lot of reasons. But the first reason was they had to have that win. And so, you know, we're on our way to the airport right now with a win, and let's get ready for the Colts.
Defensively, I just want to get your eyeballs as to how you felt the Titans attacked Lamar Jackson. I know we've talked about a blueprint being out there that the Titans might have really been the first to kind of show in the playoffs last year. And regardless of who was out, nobody cares who's out on your team in terms of the injuries and all that. So you have to go with what you've got. What did the Titans do to keep Lamar Jackson in check?
Well, I mean, it's professional malpractice for a defensive coach in this league. If you have that film of what the Titans did last year in the playoffs, and you don't start to try to understand what they were doing, you've got to defend this guy from inside out. You can't let him have any cylinder runs off of the option or off of the power option. You know, Mike and I were talking after the game. He had one cylinder run yesterday, and it was really a quarterback takeoff scramble off of a pass play. They were assignment enough, regardless of how many people you pull, whether you're pulling guards, you're pulling tight ends, you know, across the formation. They fit him up, but you got to force him to the sideline. If he's going to make 5 yards, make him run 15 to get those five. You know, and that's what they were doing. And then you're going to have to, you know, look, Andrews is a matchup nightmare downfield. I mean, you can see that, and that's the guy. And you've got to make him throw outside the numbers. Don't let him throw down the railroad tracks where he can see. Make him throw outside.
And you know what, Coach? Watching this game yesterday was very, very interesting. I think, of course, the rivalry they have with the Colts is something that's going to happen regardless. But before the game yesterday, during the game, even after the game, what transpired between both head coaches, this is something that's going to be chippy for a long, long time, it seems. Do you feel that?
No, I know that. I mean, yeah. I experienced it as a coach here. I mean, it's the way it's going to be. I mean, there's too much history between these two teams in ball games that were very meaningful for both of them that were devastating to the ones that lost. And so, yeah, I mean, I've experienced it as a coach here. I mean, I thought Amy Wells was going to come out of the moat before the game, come over the top of the rope, you know, after him. I mean, that's just the way it is with the Titans and the Colts and the Ravens. It's going to be like that forever. So get used to it.
Yeah. And also in terms of just guys having to step up yesterday, without Taylor Lewan for a while, of course, Saffo was out, Clowney's on IR, Nordori's still, and we saw guys step up in major, major way yesterday with Brewer and then Roberson off the edge. How many more guys going to have to be in those positions? And what does it say about the coaching staff as far as having guys ready to go for games like this and also just losing key guys during the week?
Well, I mean, it says a lot about the coaching staff, but it also says a whole lot about the players and just the mindset, you know, of this football team. And that's what it is. This time of year in the National Football League, Ramon, you mm-hmm, know this. I mean, mm-hmm. You're going to have people out, and you're going to have significant people out, but really nobody cares.
Right.
You know, you have to win a ball game. You have to find a way to win a ball game, and you have to step up. But the first thing that you can't do is feel sorry for yourself because everybody else is glad you're hurt. And so that's just the brutality of the National Football League, you know, that mindset right now, because we're all fighting for the same thing, is to get where everybody wants to go. You got to win games. So that's where we are.
Coach, you know, we talk to you as an analyst because of your expertise and your brilliance in terms of being able to break things down, but you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't have ever gotten into it if you weren't a fan. There were a couple of real fan moments yesterday where you could just hear the fan in you come out on the Titans radio broadcast. The first of those was the A.J. Brown touchdown. How often have you seen a receiver, a top line, you know, franchise-like wide receiver, strong enough to do what A.J. Brown did to get into that end zone?
You know, and Mike Heath said it right. They had moved our booth, and so our – in our view of the A.J. Brown touchdown, really all we could see was the back end, and it looked like a rugby scrum. That's what we could see. But it kept moving towards the goal line. But then when they replayed it on television, you know, and you could start seeing it, he made four guys miss. I mean, he jerked away from, you know, it looked like you're playing laser tag in the backyard with your little brother where he can't grab a hold of you. I mean, it was amazing. And yeah, look, A.J. Brown has got the mindset that really permeates this football team. A lot of other people have this mindset too, and you could just see it from the start of the football game. But until we could really see the play on the we really couldn't see the details of what was going on. All we knew that it was a touchdown. But when you start to look at it, yeah, I mean, and that's inspiring because that inspires everybody else.
And then you had 96 of 133 of Derrick Henry's rush yards in the second half,
yeah,
and overtime. This is just what he does, Coach. If you're trying to defend against Derrick Henry and you realize that he's going to get a lot of carries in the second half, what do you do defensively to bottle him up? Because he's the very definition of getting stronger.
Everybody's been doing the same thing, though, ever since Derrick Henry came on the scene and started doing Derrick Henry thing. They're going to load the box, and they're going to load the box and bring as many people as you want. You know, Wink Martindale yesterday had as many people up there, and he was trying a lot of different combinations mm-hmm. and permutations of personnel with blitzes to try to fill gaps, clog gaps, at least get a lot of hands on him, because that's what you have to do. Because as you see, as the game wears on, he gets stronger, and he starts running through arm tackles, and he starts running through even some shoulder tackles when he drops same foot, same shoulder, Ooh. Especially when he starts being able to hit the edge a little bit later on in the ball games. So, you know, you've only got 11 that you can play with. And the thing, you know, we talked about it on the pregame. We talked about it quite a bit. The fact that when people load the box and close the middle of the field, whether it's man or zone, I mean, that's just life. You know, a three-deep zone is no different than man-to-man for corners. I mean, they're out there by themselves. And so our two receivers had to win yesterday, and they both eventually did at one time or another.
The loss of Jayon right now for the season, him going on IR, who has to be the guy to step up for this defense? Because as big of a role that he's played this year as far as his leadership play and all of that, You think they're looking outside the building, or will there be somebody that has to step up in house? Because it's getting deep in the season, and you need guys that has experience and know what to do in those situations for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Ramon, you know that outside the building right now, you know what's out there is not, you know, exactly, you know, what you need, because if so, they would have been somewhere before 11 weeks deep into the season.
Yeah.
So you've got to go. I mean, Will Compton stepped up yesterday and did a really nice job.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. Now, how are you going to configure that, you know, going forward? I mean, that's, again, what this coaching staff is charged with, and they've been charged with it, you know, all year. I mean, you've seen it. It started early. We haven't had our starting secondary together all season.
Right.
All season. You know, and so they'll get it figured out, but somebody else has to come in. That's just the way the National Football League works. You know, it made me sick to see Jayon Brand laying there on the ground. And somebody else is going to have to come in and play. But they'll get it figured out.
Coach, you guys get home safely. It's going to be a really, really fun and obviously a huge atmosphere in Sunday on Indianapolis. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Same to you guys. Again, great win for the Titans. It's a really good feeling to be driving out of here in Baltimore. Philip Noel is doing a tremendous job of driving us, and we'll be home pretty soon.
Yeah, your GPS is we actually interviewed you and the GPS.
Oh yeah, the GPS is on. I mean, we're doing good. If you've been to Baltimore before, you know that this rental car place is exactly 27 miles from the terminal.
Yes.
So we're going there right now.
Well, you're going there with smiles on your faces after yesterday. So get home safely, and you guys have a good holiday.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's Coach Mack, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Since 1947, they're taking care of Tennesseans. They should take care of you as well. And they are responsible for Dave McGinnis being with us every single week on Mondays. And a GPS bonus appearance today.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. 615-737-1045 is how you reach this program. 615-737-1045. We got plenty of time for you to get in on Twitter at JMart and Ramon. We'll continue to break down the big win. We will talk about the Jayon injury. We'll talk about the Colts and how they got past Green Bay in overtime yesterday. Scout meeting Wednesdays might be a little bit too late to get to it, because it'll be our final show this week, of course, with the Thanksgiving week. So a lot there. And you know what? Maybe some Vols. Because that's going to be a fun topic.
Yeah.
All the news about your football team ain't been good news.
It has not been.
All the news about your football team ain't been good news.
Yep. Amani Hooker will join us at the end of the program as well. You don't want to miss that. Moan just backing away from the
Ramon's
microphone.
Ramon's ready to fight.
I am.
Moan is John Harbaugh right now.
I'm John Harbaugh. I'm both of the Harbaugh brothers right now.
Or how about this? You're James Franklin.
We do not care.
I thought we had a commercial break to go to.
We're going to go there right
now.
You
guys just continue to just pile on the hate about my universe.
I just want to see how many times you're going to say hate. We'll be right back on 104.5 The Zone.
Oh, man. Hate.
After the game, there wasn't an issue. I mean, Coach Vrabel, I think, was down there celebrating in the end zone. Then he came back around and shook hands. Before the game, it's irrelevant.
I mean, it really is. It just becomes a talking point when your team loses.
It does.
Salty.
It's something that takes away from you or did not do a good job of.
Here's what's going to happen on Thursday night at the Harbaugh Thanksgiving.
Tell us.
Jim's going to say, hey, man, it went better for me in overtime than it did for you. Won in triple overtime over Rutgers. And John's going to be like, yeah, only took you an extra 3 possessions to beat Rutgers. It's going to get real ugly. People are going to be tossing rolls. Somebody's going to have green beans dropped on their head.
If they both don't get it together, they both going to get pink slips at the end of the
year. It's going to be the nutty professor.
Yes, it is.
You're going to walk over here, but you're going to limp back. You're limping back. You're limping back.
You're limping back. God, it's ugly for them right now.
I'm telling you, I still think they can finish 11-5 because their schedule is that easy.
But at this point,
Baltimore's got one of the 3-4 easiest schedules left in the league.
Even the simplest teams, it seems like, or the least talented teams can do what they need to against Baltimore to get wins at this point. I'll give Lamar 7 yards all day he wants. Run him to the sideline. That's what you do. And then force him to throw the ball or stuff to run. Like, that seems to be the winning recipe right now. The Titans just played it two times in 2020, and they don't even play them two times. They had a whole year to figure out how they were going to beat the Titans again, and they didn't. I mean,
like, if you think about Clemson and Alabama, Deshaun Watson lost to Alabama in the national championship game.
Yeah.
Came back a year later and beat them.
They said, come on, bring it over here.
Virginia lost to Maryland, Baltimore County as a number one seed against the 16.
Yeah.
A year later, they beat Texas Tech and cut down the nets.
That's what I'm saying.
You have to erase the narrative by exorcising the demons, and they did not do that.
You know what? I hate to beat on this dead horse. I really hate to beat on this dead horse.
No, you don't.
I don't, because I'm petty like that.
Yeah, you are.
But this Greg Roman top play caller thing
is over.
Out of the window.
It's come over.
Here. You remember how they in Anchorman when he booted the dog off the bridge? That's where I'm at. I'm Jack Black right now, okay? I am booting him over the bridge. You can't tell me anything about Greg Roman being an offensive
coordinator. I see no adjustments. Here's my system. I'm sticking to it.
And I'm not saying it angrily, but when you torched the NFL the way you did the year before, I mean, absolutely obliterated everything they
right
came
now,
into contact
with.
Right
now, the Baltimore offense feels like Hideo Nomo with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Where nobody could hit him. And then the second time everybody saw him,
he was done. But you're limping back.
He is limping back right now. Travis in Dixon joins us next. What's up?
Hey, I was wanting to say something about if anyone really put any interest in Logan Woodside being on the field yesterday. I thought that was really awesome. And we had
seen
the kid all year, and except for at the very end of the Colts game. But, I mean, do you think they're going to start utilizing this kid now? I think it'd be a great idea.
I mean, he's not Taysom Hill.
Nah. He threw a dime, dog.
It was a great pass.
Threw a dime. Nah, I think that's just one of those things. The opportunity presented itself, and you take it. Smart. Been challenging the special teams all year. That's simply what that was.
And you're a genius when it works.
Yep. If it don't
you're
work.
An idiot if it doesn't work.
We're setting the whole building on fire. I don't think you can.
Put it back, sir. Breathe. The motorcycle.
What did the Batman do?
The motorcycle on the bridge. I hit him with a burrito.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we would have been doing. The special team coach had that not worked.
I forgot he said I hit him with a burrito.
What a burrito. Will Ferrell at his best. But no, Logan Woodside, I just don't see that happening anymore. You took advantage of a situation and it worked out. It's not a Taysom Hill type of thing.
No, it's not like a regular gadget thing.
No.
It's just once in a while, if you feel like you have something.
Yeah.
Then you pull it out.
Yeah. Yes, you do, Jason. Yes, you do. And they did. They needed to yesterday, though. A win was pivotal. They had to get a win yesterday. You don't want to go into Indy with a streak going at all.
Steve in the Borough, next on J-Mart and Ramon. 615-737-1045 is how you can join the program. Steve, what's up?
Hey, yeah, I want to talk to someone about the Colts game next week. You know, we need to be concentrating on what the Colts are going to do, because if we don't beat the Colts, we're going to Pittsburgh or Kansas City first round, and I don't think we're going to like either one of them on the road. So I'll hang it up and listen.
Well, I mean, you may not,
no.
But you have it in front of you.
Yeah.
To go beat Indianapolis. We saw what happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
You shot yourself in the foot 17 times with 4 bullets. Seriously.
Yeah.
You can't do what you did the last time. Yesterday, it looked like, at least at halftime, it felt like the Packers had that game. And they didn't. Colts came back and won that game.
Yep.
And even with the worst clock management in recent memory in the last 2 minutes, where the Colts did everything possible to try and lose, they still managed to win that game.
Quality of wins at the end of the season is going to be
huge.
And
that's a big win. And, of course, the Titans have to deal with that Packers team before the end of the year as well. But we know, you don't have to tell us.
Right.
Sunday is as big as it gets.
It may be, in terms of the season, the Super Bowl for this team.
I felt like yesterday was crucial because of the mindset that it can put you in.
Yep.
Because things just haven't been going right for this team other than Chicago. You wanted to beat a team that you believed was pretty good or was good, that was in the playoff hunt, get you in front of some of these tiebreak scenarios.
Yeah.
But the Colts game is clearly the bigger of the two games. Like it's a, and it was before this one started. But now you've done half of your job. If you win, then the division goes through you. You control your destiny as long as you handle business from here on out. And that's the spot that you want to be at.
4-5 seed right now is Colts 4, number one in the AFC South, and Titans number 5.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be tight. This is going to say a lot because either one of these teams lose, and then the Browns and the Raiders bump up, and then Baltimore's back in the conversation again.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's the thing. Like last week, the Titans were in ninth.
Yeah.
Now you've seen the Dolphins and Raiders drop out because of yesterday. Or pardon me, the Dolphins and the Ravens, I guess, drop out.
Right.
And it's just going to continue to go that way. So you've got to continue to win. Scott in Nashville next on the program. Scott, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious. Yesterday, watching the game, Jeffrey Simmons really just didn't have a presence. I don't know if something was going on with him or they just scheming him different. Or
The game is weird like this. Maybe he needed a little bit more of a break. They wanted guys to get out there and have some reps because that's what's going to be huge the rest of the season. It's a matter of, okay, who's behind the starters that can get the job done too? I thought they did really well in the run game for the most part yesterday. They were getting to the quarterback. They kept Lamar in front of them. I think for the first time, except for the Bears game, this was the realest game in which we saw the front end and the back end of the defense work well together. We saw Byard do his thing.
Yeah, he was second in team on tackles yesterday. Rashawn actually led the team in tackles with 9. Simmons had 3 tackles yesterday. He played 88% of the snaps.
Yeah.
So he was out there. I don't know that they schemed him, but there are just times when an interior lineman just isn't going to necessarily stand out quite the same. And Lamar airmails people, so you don't knock down his passes nearly as often as, say, you would Phillip Rivers, who does the opposite.
Right. Yeah, and that's just where they were. I thought they were penetrating the heck out of this offensive line. I thought they owned them for the most part of the game. They had the left tackle for the Ravens just reeling. I thought the rush plan was really good. They were, and also, Desmond King in the slot yesterday played a heck of a game.
Yes, he did.
That's what they were looking for, and I think they got it. And it was against a good opponent in the sense of some of their skill guys, especially the tight ends over the middle and stuff like that. That's what you want to kill the short game because that's what's been killing the Titans on third down. This team's been able to move the chains.
Corey in the Borough next on the program. Corey, what's up, man?
I just wanted to mention the cowbell is Will Ferrell at his best and enjoy the show.
All right, appreciate it, Corey. Look, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
More cowbell skit from SNL. Definitely on the short list of the Will Ferrell best moments.
It is.
Definitely on the short list. What else is on the Will Ferrell list? So I'm not just going to blow past that.
Nah. What else is on the Will Ferrell list?
I think his Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek is cool.
His Alex Trebek is tremendous. Frank the Tank is on the list.
That's all I was going to say. When it touches your lips. When it touches your
lips. And I remember when I saw the trailer for Anchorman, I was like, this looks like trash.
Duh.
It turned out to be pretty good, even though I had to watch it more than once. First time I saw it, I was like, it's all right. But it's a film that kind of gets better as you watch it more and more. But, I mean, Ferrell definitely had a great run. Even in his most underrated film, folks, if you have not seen it, Seek Out Stranger Than Fiction, which actually gave some dramatic tones as well. It was kind of a dark comedy.
Yeah.
Really good film. Really good story. Smartly written. A lot of people have overlooked that through the years. You can find that. I'm not sure where it's streaming right now, but Stranger Than Fiction should be on your list if you're looking for something this holiday weekend.
Ricky Bobby, too.
Oh, of course, Talladega Nights, yes. Jared in Russellville, Kentucky is next on J-Mart and Ramon. Jared, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Good morning. Love the show. Listen to it every day. How are y'all doing?
Man, we're good. We appreciate
thank you.
Guys, I just wanted to talk about the red zone inefficiencies yesterday. We had, 3 straight drives where we left points on the field. Uh-huh. We won in overtime, but I feel like we could have definitely had it in regulation if we would have just been a little bit more creative and wanted it just a little more there.
Well, I mean, it wasn't precise at times. Right. But as much as you're saying, we just needed to want it a little bit more, we could have won it earlier. You also could have lost it earlier because there was a moment there where it looked like that game was fading right out of your hands.
And we're speaking about Baltimore, too. They're known number one for their defense. Like, Lamar has just been a real big compliment to that team in general. But Baltimore is still third down conversion. They're number three. Teams only converting in 34% on third down against Baltimore, in a sense. Red zone scoring, they give it up a little bit, but that's mostly field goals, in a sense. I mean, they're 25th in it, but Baltimore has always been solid. The tight end, they'll give into the red zone. So red zone scoring is one of those things they're not willing to give up. They get tighter. It's hard to score in the red zone when the ground gets tighter, the end zone get a little bit shorter. The amount of grass to work with. I mean, you can't fault them. Some teams are just going to have your number on that. So it's not one of those things where they failed. It's hard to score down there when you get there, unless it's just you're kicking field goals. Baltimore's still a really good defense.
Michael tweets this underrated Ferrell skit, get off the shed. Indeed. Also, I drive a Dodge Stratus on that list, too.
By the way, there's always something that takes over every single show we have.
It's now the Ferrell thing.
Apparently, it's Will Ferrell today.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of his, by the way. Well, if I met him, I would probably fanboy out. I can't lie.
I mean, yeah.
I would be quoting movies and just saying stuff.
He'd probably back away from you.
Now you can say earmuffs. No, he would come to me. He would embrace me, okay?
You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby!
AJ and Dixon up next. AJ, how are you?
Oh, man, good. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Well, I just wanted to say that whenever we picked up Malcolm Butler, I didn't really have a whole lot of faith in him. He was kind of quiet. But now, man, he's just like a smaller Cortland Finnegan, but with like a more of a bobblehead look to him. He's just a little feisty. I love seeing him before the game hollering at the Ravens at the center, man. I just love it. I think he's done a lot for our defense this year whenever we've, kind of fallen short on that aspect. Losing a lot of people, I think he really stepped up his game. But yeah, I think he's just looking like a little bobblehead here lately. But I love it.
Look, I mean, I think Malcolm Butler has played well this year.
Yeah.
And he's needed to play even better because the secondary has struggled the way that it has. But he has, more often than not, he's done what you needed him to do. He had four tackles yesterday. I mean, he was, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th in tackles yesterday, but you don't need him to be your leading tackler.
No.
So he has done his job effectively. First year he was here, bad. Last year at times decent, and then he got hurt. This year I think that he has definitely been...
He's found himself in a system now.
Yeah, he's been good for this team to have.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what you need. He comes in and does his job. You know, he attracts a lot of people in the sense of saying, like, hey, we're either going to try him, and then he's answered the call a lot of this year. So guys are going to mess up every once in a while. They're going to have a play here or there also, and you can't fault them for that. It's just how they recover. He's been doing his job well, above the line. That's how I look at him this year. He's been well above the line this year for sure.
He definitely has. Derrick Henry's been well above the line. Still just...
Has to be in the MVP conversation.
Like I said, he's two or three.
Yeah.
I would say right now Mahomes is still your leader, and unless he does something wrong, he should be the MVP. There's nobody more valuable in the league than Patrick Mahomes.
No.
There's not.
Not at this point.
But I don't know who else you would put ahead of Derrick Henry right now in terms of what he means to the Tennessee Titans offense. If this team goes anywhere, it's because... You have to respect him so very much.
Yeah.
That's why, look, Tannehill doesn't have to have 400 yards passing. You just need about what he gave you yesterday.
I'm not
saying he was a game manager, but he had 250 yards, and like he just, when you needed him, other than the one awful throw.
Yeah. Pressure was in his face.
He's doing what you need, which is just not, he's not going to throw the game away for you, and there are times when he can win a game for you.
And that's what he's proven. Like I said, them being able to trust him to throw wherever he needs to, he can create, he can get outside of the box and run. A lot of teams would love to have a quarterback like this at this point. Finding a good, stable quarterback that know how to make really good decisions is somebody that you can trust, which is probably one of the reasons New Orleans didn't go with Jameis at this point. Just being completely honest with you, you don't know what his decision-making is going to be in the games. So... Hey, Tannehill is doing everything he's supposed to do with everything that's in front of him.
Right now, the AFC playoff picture. You know what? We'll do that when we come back. Also, if you want to join us, 615-737-1045. A reminder of Monty Hooker. Titans defensive back will join us at the very end of this show, so there's still plenty of time for you to react. We have not talked Vols yet, but we will. We will. Sorry, Buckethead.
It's the holiday season.
Tweeting out. I know it's the holiday season.
It's supposed to be joyous, man. Come on.
We have a job to do, Ramon.
It's Victory Monday. It's very joyous today.
You said that with a straight face and a little bit of a smirk. Like, yeah.
We have a job to
do. Care about your feelings.
We have, yeah.
We do not care.
I could care less about Barkley's work.
I could care less about Barkley's work.
I understand.
We'll be right back on 104.5 The Zone.
Garantano from the shotgun. Play action with time. Throws it to the end zone, and it's picked off by Smoke Monday. Down the sideline, Monday. Stays on his feet. He may go the distance. He's to the 30, to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Auburn! 100 yards, Smoke Monday!
All the news about your football team ain't been good news.
Yeah. Ezekiel! I wish I could say what I wanted to on this family-friendly airways.
You can if you feel like heading home for 30 days.
How much is the fine?
I don't know.
Can I pay the fine and come back? I mean, I'll take it as long as I can play next week. Because for you guys to play that little snippet right
you now, guys, like I did it.
No. You looked at him. I'm sure it was a wink.
He had nothing to do with it.
I'm sure that was a side chat that said, hey, play this.
Nope. You're making stuff up.
J-Mart has been, he's been throwing little nuggets here and there anyway about my Vols for all
saucy
morning.
Nugs.
Yeah.
It was a news item that happened in the world of sports. We're paid to talk about news items and analyze things that happened in the world of sports.
Now we're worried about the job.
I'll tell you what you might be worried about. This from PaulKaharsky.com. I know that guy.
Yeah.
The Titans need to replace Taylor Lewan's replacement. The team expecting that left tackle Ty Sambrello, who replaced Lewan after he tore his ACL October 18th against Houston, is out long term, most likely for the remainder of the season.
All the news about your football team ain't been good news.
Indeed. David Quessenberry replaced Sambrello when he left the game midway through the fourth quarter. And then here we go.
Yeah,
the Titans could stick with Quessenberry as their third left tackle of the season, or they could make a move to their first-round pick, Isaiah Wilson, who dressed for the first time against the Ravens but did not play a snap. Wilson was active as the Titans, as teams are required to have 8 offensive linemen on their game day 48. He was the only remaining option. He could be inserted at right tackle, of course. That would mean Dennis Kelly could flip to the left tackle. So Sambrello and Jayon Brown yesterday.
That's tough.
Lost for the year.
Next man up.
Not great, Bob.
How about next caller up? Mitch and Dixon joining us next. Mitch, what's up?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hey, just wanted to add, you were talking about Tannehill doing what he needs to do out there, or at least, you know.
Yeah.
Without that 2-point conversion yesterday, the Ravens drive down, kick the field goal, and that's the end of the ball game. So, I mean,
yeah,
no, it was the right call. It was the right call, and again, he did exactly what he should have done.
Yeah,
and he succeeded.
And we talked about him also in our scout meeting Thursday this past week about having Justin Tucker. If you're within 3 points,
that's a weapon.
Whenever they cross field, I mean half midfield, they're in scoring range.
By the way, the rookie Blankenship out of Georgia for the Colts, he's been awfully good too.
Yeah.
Just something to keep in mind as you move to Indianapolis.
Points are a premium, and I thought it was smart to go for 2 right there, 100%.
Eric joins the program from Fort Campbell. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple things here. Mark Mariani on Thursday, he said the key to win this game, Ryan Tannehill had to use his legs, and he did that early in the third quarter. On like a 12-yard run to get the first down. I thought that was impressive. Of course, Derrick Henry. But, you know, I'm excited about this game yesterday. But I'm going to say this. I think a lot of people have given Malcolm Butler credit. I'm telling you right now, like, I absolutely think that Malcolm Butler is terrible. And I know I'm going to get some stuff from some fans, but, like, I watch him every game, and I played defensive back, and I just, and of course we didn't get the defensive back that we got from, you know, from the Patriots. We didn't get that guy. But I think that if we didn't pay him that much last year before he broke his hand, you know, how Don Robinson is, he was on a borderline of getting cut if we didn't pay him that much money. But like I said, I'm not a fan of him. I feel like, you know, of course that's been our Achilles heel, the secondary. But, you know, I'll hang up and let y'all talk, but, you know, I don't want to piss nobody off, but, man.
No, it's cool. Say it.
It's all right to be strong, man.
Malcolm Butler, man, to me is, I mean, just terrible. And yesterday, had we been playing Phillip Rivers, we're probably down 38-24. Because, I mean, you're letting Andrews get in deep ball touchdown, you know, deep ball catches. You know, our secondary, it just isn't, you know, it still isn't up there. And so I'm still kind of scared going into this weekend against the Colts.
Oh, well, I mean, they let Andrews do what Andrews does. Yeah. Andrews had 5 catches for 96 yards. Hollywood Brown had 0 for 0. Dez Bryant was your leading receiver yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
4 for 28 in his first game since, what, 2017?
2017 with the Cowboys.
Like, I don't think Malcolm Butler is the best player in the league.
Right.
But I also don't think he's a liability to the extent that I thought he was 2 years ago. And I think he's playing better football.
And I'll say this too. Malcolm Butler brings experience. He brings a teachable sense to a young guys. I think he gives you a name to say, hey, he's going to do his job. I do think he's been above the line, but if you watch him and the guys around him, I think more than anything, he's a tone setter. He's Big Jeff on the back end now that I've seen him. What he did yesterday in Baltimore, in the sense of just jawing a little bit, letting the guys have it, I think he brings that to NASA. More than anything, guys are kept on team sometimes because of what they do off the field also, what they do for their teammates also. And I think he's in that position right now, but I do think his play is still above the line.
I do too. Let's go to Catfish Jake before we get to our top of the hour break. Jake, what is up, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? First of all, let's not forget about Big Earl. And Starsky and Hutch, one of Will Ferrell's most underrated roles.
Fair point.
Yep.
Turn around and look at me like a dragon. But, yeah, Malcolm Butler, to that callers, first of all, I have never played pro football at a pro football level, so for me to criticize anybody as a pro, it doesn't make any sense to critique him that way. But, yeah, he is what he is. He's got an attitude that I love. He'll give up some big plays. But then yesterday, you know, he got burned a few times, but then when he slammed Dez Bryant to the ground and gave him a little mean mug and all that, I mean, I love that kind of stuff out of especially a DB, as long as his play is somewhat backing it up. But that was a great win for the Titans yesterday. I think Vrabel's ability to stay calm under pressure keeps his team calm under pressure, and they have a tendency to be able to perform underneath that pressure. So that was a good win for the team.
No, indeed. Appreciate it, Jake.
Absolutely, thanks, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. Yeah, Butler's going to get beat He's going to get beat a couple times. I mean, there's no question about that, especially at his age. He's not the fastest guy out there, but he is savvy, and he will get – he's the kind of guy that right now is getting under some team's skin.
Yes.
That's where the – if you want to compare him to Finnegan.
Yeah.
Or if you want to make that kind of a comparison, then he's a little bit of an irritant these days, which you need a couple of those dudes.
100%.
You need a couple of those dudes, and the Titans – they got a couple of those dudes. They got one on their defensive line as well.
Big Jeff.
That's definitely one of those guys.
Absolutely.
We'll be back after the update. Hit us up on Twitter at JMart and Ramon. We actually put it up. Favorite Will Ferrell skit or character, and you guys are responding with things that I forgot about, including Harry Carey. Forgot all about Harry Carey.
If you were a hot dog.
That was Jonathan Schaefer. We'll be right back on 104.5 The Zone. Yep. Quiet.
Yep.
Quiet.
Yep.
Break.